I am Plot on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. At the Granville Island stage beginning Thursday, the 8th of May through to the 24th of May is the newest production from Satora Theatre, West Side Story. The epic and beloved musical inspired by Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet features the music of Leonard Bernstein, the lyrics of Stephen Sondheim, and a book by Arthur Lawrence. This production also recreates the show's original 1957 choreography by Jerome Robbins. The tale of two young lovers, Tony and Maria, who are at the heart of a conflict between two rival gangs, the Jets and the Sharks, amidst the backdrop of a gentrifying New York City in the 1950s, has been produced on the stage countless times since its debut in the 1950s and has been made into two major motion pictures, 1961's Best Picture Oscar winner and the recent Steven Spielberg remake that was also well received. Joining me now is Chris Adams, this production's director. I'll ask him about the large cast, the large set, and the 14-piece live orchestra. We'll also touch on the themes of this timeless classic as it remains relevant now, just as it did when it first premiered. Visit CTORA.ca for tickets and information. Chris Adams is also the interim artistic director of the Royal City Musical Theatre. We spoke 2.5 weeks ago. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Chris Adams. Mr. Adams, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. You know, like Romeo and Juliet, West Side Story is such a beloved show, and it's always been revisited by audiences and companies like Satora. What for you makes this show special?
I think there's so many elements that make it special. I think the story, obviously based on Romeo and Juliet, is timeless. We're going on a story that, you know, at least was written down almost 500 years ago and keeps getting adapted today. I think in the 50s, they had an amazing team of Leonard Bernstein and Stephen Sondheim doing the music and lyrics with a book by Arthur Lawrence, who was an incredible storyteller as well. So it just sort of all took shape in the 50s, 1957 on Broadway, and has been a hit ever since. They struck gold when they put it together with that team.
You know, the music itself by Bernstein in isolation, I mean, that's remarkable. Then you add Sondheim's lyrics. It's something unbelievable and fresh. I can only imagine how groundbreaking that must have been in 1957.
I'm sure it was. I mean, you know, Stephen Sondheim just passed away a few years ago. He was just a kid when this came out. And he was given basically a big break to take this on. And he was as brilliant then as he was when he passed. So he's been a structure for musical theater for so many years.
And this production comes at a time when a lot of the themes are relevant to today. What sort of conversations as the director are you having with, say, the company about doing this show at this time?
Oh, we've had quite a few for many months now. It started back in production with the production teams, and then when the cast, you know, joins for rehearsals. The story, you know, very unfortunately, the story of racism and prejudice and people not getting along is just as timely now as it was in when the story was, when the show was written. We've talked a lot about everyone's buried histories coming together to perform this show. We have a lot of people from a lot of different countries, quite a few from South America. There's a lot of cast members from Mexico, Costa Rica, Colombia, and what their experiences were like in their hometowns. And thankfully, you know, they have found wonderful homes and families here in Canada and are passionate. But there are some stories that myself, as a born and bred Canadian, there's prejudice, racism, and more that I have never had to experience. But getting to talk with our beautiful cast about these situations. fantastic but heartbreaking way to parallel the story with real life.
You mentioned this cast. It's a big cast, too, as I understand. It's a relatively young cast, too, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The majority of the cast, so there's 27 in the cast. The majority of them are playing the teens. So we have a wide range through 20s and early 30s, mm-hmm. Playing the teenagers. But we do have four adults, as we call them, the four male adults that make up the other characters in the show. But it is a cast of 24. I don't want to call them kids, but 24 younger people making this up and dancing their hearts out.
So they play the parts of the Jets and the Sharks, I guess. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. So other than a big cast, it's also got a big orchestra, right? 14 pieces, I understand?
That's correct, yeah. So we're taking up every inch of the Granville Island stage. There's not a room we're not in when we move in there.
Yeah. But I guess the music demands that, doesn't it?
It does. That was when the producers of Satora came to me to direct this piece. That was one of the first things I asked was, can we move forward with a full orchestra? The full orchestration from the rights organization gives you set for 17 pieces. Uh-huh. We were able to do it in 14, which is still huge for an orchestra in Vancouver for musical theater.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned the instructions you get from, say, the rights holder. In this case, it's MTI. The poster says that the choreography is recreated from Jerome Robbins' original choreography.
Yeah.
Are you given by MTI when a company gets the rights to a show like this, say specific instructions as to the choreography? I mean, how do you and Suzanne Ouellette, how do you stage the show according to the way it was seen, say, in 1957?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the choreo, Jerome Robbins' choreography was and is fantastic, and I wanted Vancouver audiences to see that. So when I approached Suzanne as the choreographer, it was with the idea that we would be recreating Jerome Robbins' choreo, which is quite a feat. It is not video. It's all done in a book. The rights holders, MTI, send you a choreo book with every single move and arm movement and hand movement and leg movement written down in what feels like a run-on sentence in this book, and you follow the steps. So I have to give most of that credit to Suzanne for jumping on board, and really she's been prepping in her living room since January, reading that book over and over and over again to get those steps in her head. Obviously, the source material, the original movie, gives you the style and the feel, but we are truly recreating Jerome Robbins' choreo. It's almost beat for beat what is written in that book.
So what sets apart, say, the dance that Robbins, say, crafted for West Side Story, as opposed to, say, other pieces of musical theater where dance is important? I mean, I guess this is a great showcase of Robbins and his talents, right?
That's just it, is that it almost feels like you have to use it. I know you don't, but it feels like you do. Just simply because it was so specifically choreographed with Bernstein in the room, and so the orchestra and the choreography is almost not on count. It's almost beat for beat to what the orchestra is playing, and you don't really get a feel for that when you're just in a rehearsal situation with a rehearsal pianist. But as the band is starting to join us and we're hearing those instruments and hearing those notes, it becomes apparent how much Jerome Robbins made this to dance to these orchestrations. And it would be very difficult, really, for someone to recreate their own choreography to that music. It's not impossible. Lots have done it. But, man, does it flows so nicely when you get to see that dance and do that dance with that orchestra playing.
I can only imagine what it's like for the audience to see and tapping their foot along, say, or or more. Right?
We haven't hit a place where the audience has joined us yet, so I am excited for that experience myself as well too.
I understand that the set is 16 feet high. Is that right?
It is. It is a very large set. It's made to recreate an alley way in New York City. Brian Ball has created something fantastic. There's 3 stories of balconies that we can appear on and jump through, and we have a very athletic group of jets, and they're climbing the set, coming through the set, getting on and off those balconies. It is going to be an athletic feat for them, not just the choreo, but the blocking as well. So,
you know, as you were talking about the New York City alleyway, that's in the show, in this production, you know, there are other themes like gentrification that are taken on in the production, in the show itself, that are, you know, are awfully timely, not just for our time, but especially for Vancouver, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's really the struggle for, you know, why are the Jets so upset? And we see right away why the Sharks are upset, because they're being picked on and they're being bullied. And I'm not condoning bullying, but I do want to pay, you know, some credit to why are these Sharks upset? Why are they angry? What is going on in their neighborhood? And it's that they're having to deal with change, and they're unfortunately taking it out on a group of people, which they obviously should not do. But it is important to the story to justify, you know, everyone's actions, of course, on both sides, and realize that people have to grow and have to learn, and sometimes they don't want to. Sometimes they're stubborn. Sometimes they, you know, are not in that position. So we are just seeing 2 days. This play takes place over 2 days. We're seeing 2 days of their life. That's it.
Yeah.
So we're not getting to see a lot of that growth after or what happened before, but we're dropping the audience into these 2 days at the highest level of anxiety and rage and anger and I mean, pure racism from the Jets part.
Yeah.
But, it's a fascinating character study when you break down the script that way.
So, you know, for the longest time, I avoided seeing the Spielberg movie. Because I always thought the original film was just wonderful. And then I saw the Spielberg movie, and you automatically try to compare the two, which you shouldn't, because the Spielberg movie is just such a remarkable piece of work itself, and it stands on its own. What are your thoughts on the film itself?
I haven't seen it since it came out, so it's been a few years.
Yeah.
I did go see it in theaters, and I had a really good time. They did sort of pay homage to the original choreo, but the choreographer definitely added a new spin. And I don't need to say this for anyone to prove it, but Spielberg is a good director. And I mean, he was able to show the audience things that I think story-wise really helped. It was a beautiful film. I think it is hard to not compare it to the original. I obviously am a huge fan and seen the original movie many, many times, and that version once.
Yeah.
I did think it was a very smart film, and I thought the production team and the actors and designers did a beautiful job with it.
Looking at the state of musical theater, Chris, I was just curious to know, are you finding that the audience for musicals is regenerating generation to generation? I mean, are films like the recent Spielberg version of West Side Story, or say Wicked last year, are they really building audiences and driving, say, attendance to the so-called legitimate theater?
I think they are. I'm a true believer that good theater, good musical theater, equates to more audience attendance. I think if you go see a great show, the next time you see an ad for a show, you're going to go to that, you know, you're going to be more likely to buy a ticket. So I know I never look at theater or musical theater in town as any sort of competition. I think the more great theater we can produce here, the more the audiences are going to grow and the more they're going to want to attend. I think growth is happening. I think the city is alive and well in performing and producing, and the arts community is on board. So, I see things in the positive light, and I see them moving forward for sure.
Yeah, another hat that you wear is that of interim artistic director of the Royal City Musical Theater. What's the production this year?
Over in New Westminster,
yeah.
We are doing Dolly Parton's 9 to 5, the musical. So it's a big, giant musical comedy, mm-hmm. With music and lyrics by Dolly Parton. Very, very different approach and style than West Side Story, of course, but it's been really fun to get to work on both these pieces this spring.
Well, what is it like for you, Chris? I mean, to get to work with something, say, as well known as West Side Story, and, mm-hmm. and something new like 9 to 5. I mean, we all know that song, but you know,
right.
there's other music as well. I mean, you're working with a piece that audiences might not be familiar with, say.
For sure, yeah. I think with both shows, I'm really a director that dives fully into the script, and I work with the script that you know tells us what the characters want and tells us how it moves forward. And I think if with either show, if the audience comes to see a performance that is real and natural and exciting, you know, that's what they will grasp to and be drawn in by. And I think even a big, giant musical comedy written 15 years ago and mm-hmm. and a darker, love story, you're going to leave the theater with emotions and thoughts and feelings and hopefully a conversation starter on the way home. I would always hate for, you know, you to go see a show and go home and have nothing to talk about. I think we should talk about what we just saw.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about in 9 to 5 as well.
Yeah.
Chris, it's been really nice to talk to you today. Break a leg, as they say, in your business. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great to talk to you as well.
The website for tickets and information is at ctora.ca. West Side Stories at the Granville Island Stage, Thursday the 8th of May through to the 24th of May. It's director Chris Adams. Join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.